Father God, those are powerful words for us to sing. That as we lay our lives at your feet, we want to elevate you. We want to worship you. As we bow down, we pray and desire and sing that you would be lifted up. That as John declared, that we must become less, that he can become more. And Father, as we do that, as we lay our lives down, as we become less, we are made more in you. As your Spirit indwells us and fills us and brings us back into that relationship, God, we don't become less, we become more in you. So God, we thank you and we praise you for what you are doing in us, what you are working and building in us. And God, as we turn to your word this morning and study what that means, God, we pray that you would speak, that you would work, that you would move. You would help us to see you a little more clearly, that we can follow you a little more closely and share you a little more fully. We ask that you would speak and move and lead us into your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, worship team, for leading us to that place this morning. What a wonderful, wonderful thing for us to declare and experience together. As we begin this morning, we're going to open our Bibles to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, it's near the front, not too many pages in, and we're going to be looking at the story of the parting of the Red Sea as we continue in our journey that God is leading us into this year. Exodus chapter 14, we're going to start in verse 13, we're going to read to the end of the chapter, we're going to read this a little bit later on in the message as well, just because, you know, you might miss some stuff in the first time through here, so we're going to kind of walk through this a couple of times. But Exodus chapter 14, we're going to start in verse 13 here, and we're going to read our way through. We'll have it on the screen for you as well if you need it. It says this: Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side, so neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night, the Lord drove back the sea with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He jammed the wheels of their chariots so that they had difficulty driving, and the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The waters flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground. with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. We serve a God of unfathomable power, who parted the Red Sea, who broke the armies of the Pharaoh. We serve a God of incredible love and compassion, who protected his children before and behind with pillars of smoke and fire and angels standing guard over them. We serve a God who sees deep into the very hearts of men and knows our thoughts and gains glory in our obedience and our rebellion, because he is God and his will is done. A disciple is one who knows the power of God. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to be stepping again into our second week of this series for this year. Our theme for this year, the mind of a disciple. As we look at what it means to be a disciple, to live like God calls us to live, to think and act and be as he wants us to be. What does it mean to be a disciple? How is God calling us to live as we walk in relationship with him? What does it look like to be shaped into the image of Jesus? How would our lives look different if we were truly living for Jesus, if we were really walking with him, if we picture what we think that would look like, your life truly reflecting Jesus in the world, how would it look different, do you think? And I hope the answer would be, it wouldn't. My life wouldn't look different because I am following Jesus. I am reflecting Jesus, and I'm walking as he wants me to walk. I'm living as a disciple. My life really is about Jesus all the time, and everything I do is in line with his calling and purpose and spirit alive within me. Is that what your life looks like? Because it should. He promised us that it could, that we would do even greater things than he did because he was going to the Father and would send his Spirit to us. And if you don't think it is, why not? What do you think should look different? What should you be doing differently? I think we should figure it out. Because I think that would be a pretty big deal to understand that. Because I think we believe that following Jesus is not just about eternal salvation at some time in the future. It's not just fire insurance and escaping hell. We think that living as Jesus calls us to live, living as his disciple, and following his example as he called us to follow, I think that's the best way to live. It's the best life a person can possibly have. The best possible life is not private jets and mansions spread around the world and fancy cars and red carpets. The best possible life a person can have is a life that reflects Jesus, that is alive with the Spirit and walking in perfect alignment with his Spirit. And he promises us that life won't be easy. It won't be comfortable. It's not about being rich or having fancy things. But I think we believe, at least, that it is the best way to live, that life with Jesus is best. And so we want to know what kind of people God wants us to be. How does this life look? What do his people look like? How is he calling us to live as we walk in this discipleship? And so that's what we're exploring this fall, this year. Each week, we're going to look at another piece of what that looks like, what kind of person is a disciple. That disciples are those who know the provision of God. That a disciple is no one who knows the heart and the mind of God, who studies His Word. That a disciple is one who speaks the truth in the world. That a disciple is a person who sees that God is everywhere. That a disciple is a person who is under God's protection. Different pieces of our journey. Different kinds of things that are true and important as we walk in this. Different aspects of what God wants us to understand about what it means to walk with Him. What God taught to His people, the Israelites, showed them about following Him. What Jesus showed His disciples about following Him. What the apostles taught the early church about following Him. Discipleship is a big thing. It's an exciting question, and there are lots of pieces for us to explore all year. But we started last week with perhaps the most important piece of all. Before we get to all these other pieces that we're going to be exploring this year, we started with the truth that disciples are people of the covenant promises of God. People that know and trust and believe in the promises that God has made to us. People that know and believe His promises and trust that they are true. And live in the knowledge that His promises are not about what we can do for Him, but what He will do for us. The place we started and the place we cannot forget on this journey, something we're going to see coming over and over and over again, even in this week, is that discipleship is not about our efforts, our works. It's about the work of the Spirit in us. It's about the work of God in our life, in forgiveness and redemption and sanctification and justification and glorification. Those huge and important words. Discipleship is about walking in obedience with God and the work of His Spirit within us, making us whole and new, restored in relationship with our Creator, that we can experience new life with Him for eternity. And bring that new life to others. And so we started last week with the story of the covenant that God made with Abram in Genesis chapter 12. And all of the covenants that came after with His people. Over and over and over again, we saw that it was about what God was promising He would do. And His call to us was follow and obey. God would do these mighty things and bring salvation to the whole world, and we are called to follow. That being a disciple is not about what we do, but what about God is doing. It's not about our efforts, our power, our holiness, our strength. It's about God, His work, His mission, His plan, His Spirit. It's the most important place to start because it's easy for us to get sucked into just trying harder when it's really about surrendering more. So it's the most important place for us to start, but it's not the place that we will end because God is calling us forward and He is showing us what He can do. And so this week we take the second step on our journey that a disciple is one who knows and trusts in the power of God. Disciples know the promises of God, and disciples know and trust the power of God. This is a huge part of the life of a disciple. It's an important part of our journey because walking with God is hard. And it's scary. And while Jesus has told us how all of this will end, He will return, and new heaven and a new earth and all of the wonderful things in Daniel and Revelation and these promises that Jesus made to us, we know what He has promised. But we don't know what our journey is going to look like, what our life is going to look like. We don't know the things that God is going to call us to do. What He is going to allow us to experience, the places He is going to take us, the kind of people He will bring into our life. We don't know what our story will look like. It may have seasons of comfort and peace and happiness. It will have seasons of incredible hardship where we face fear and doubt, evil and selfishness, brokenness and sickness and hurt. All through this book, we have the stories of God's people facing famine and shipwrecks and armies and people hunting them for their very lives. We may face real danger. Other people are going to hurt us and let us down. People we trust, people we rely on, people that shouldn't do that to us. And we are going to hurt people and fail people, people we shouldn't do that to. God is going to call you into a situation that you don't feel prepared for, that you don't know what to do, because He wants you in that room. Your voice, your hands, He has something for you to do for His kingdom in that place, and you won't know what or how. You won't think you're able. It's too much. You're not ready. Following God can be hard. It can be scary, but the God we serve is so much greater than we know, is so much more mighty than we can imagine. He has done great things, and we can believe in what He will do because we know what He has done. A disciple is one who knows and believes in the power of God. The Israelites were in slavery in Egypt for 430 years. 430 years. They cried out to God. They lived there. They got married there. They had children there. And their children grew up and got married and had children of their own, who had children of their own, who had children of their own, who had children of their own. 430 years ago from today is 1594. The Jews arrived in Egypt in 1594, 300 years before Canada was even a country, 200 years before the U.S. became a country. King James IV was the king of England. We don't know who that was. We don't even know who that was. Napoleon wouldn't be born for another 200 years. 430 years is a long time that the people were slaves in Egypt, that they waited and waited until today when God would set them free. And when He did, they might not even really know who He was after all that time. He was the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but after 430 years, the people really didn't know what their God could do. Where had He been anyways? Had He not heard their cries? But He was with them the whole time, and when He called Moses to lead His people, He introduced Himself. And He showed them what He could do. Exodus chapter 3, Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is His name?' What shall I tell them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: 'The I am has sent me to you.'" God had promised Abraham that his offspring would outnumber the stars of the sky and that they would be His chosen people. But after 430 years of what they felt was God's silence, these people might not even remember or know who their God was. And so God revealed to them His name. And then He showed them what He could do, because He wanted His people to know who their God was. And so after all that time, God sent them Moses and Aaron. And with great plagues and mighty works, he freed his people from slavery and took them out of the land of Egypt. They saw these signs and wonders worked against the mighty Egyptians, and they followed God's messenger out of slavery into the desert. But as they were leaving, Pharaoh once again hardened his heart and changed his mind and went to bring the Israelites back into slavery. And before the eyes of all his people, God showed them his mighty power. They had seen the plagues and these crazy things happen. They had even seen the firstborn of the Egyptians die in that horrible final plague. But now God led them to a place where their own lives were in peril. He was going to show them something new. They were cornered against the Red Sea by the mightiest army on earth at the time, coming to kill and capture them all once again. And with their backs against the wall, nowhere to run, this God who told them his name now showed them his power. Chapter 14, verse 10, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out to the desert to die? What have you done by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians.' It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord is fighting for you. You need only be still." And once again, we see that first step in discipleship spoken to God's people. Here again, that God will do this thing. We only have to obey. He will do the work. We wait and trust in him. And so then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea. Divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will," again, who's doing the work? "I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of them, withdrew and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. And throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to one side and light to the other side, so that neither went near the other all night long. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night, the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. Can you imagine the wind? Imagine the sound, the roar. The waters were divided. The Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. And during the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army, and he threw it into confusion. He jammed the wheels of their chariots so that they couldn't drive. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away. The Lord is fighting for the Israelites against us." The Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptian army. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak, the sea went back to its place. Such a quiet way to say that. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The waters flowed back and covered the chariots and the horsemen. The entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea, not one of them survived, but the Israelites went through on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day, the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in Him. A disciple is one who knows the power of God. This story is the beginning of the journey of Israel as they become the nation that God had promised to Abraham, to this elderly couple that could have no children. God led his offspring through Joseph into Egypt, where they became slaves. He took them there to save them from the famine. And they became slaves. They were mistreated. But God was working even in that. Because think about this. They were held in one place. This nomadic people were held in one place as God built this tiny family into a nation that was so great and powerful that even the Egyptians feared them. God was at work the whole time. And when the timing was right, He revealed Himself again to His people and showed them who their God truly was. A disciple is one who knows the power of God, who knows what God has done, so that when we are led into new things, hard things, even dangerous things, we know that our God is with us and is watching over us because He's watched over His people before us. He parted the Red Sea. He struck down the walls of Jericho. He led Gideon against a mighty army with 300 men. He saved Daniel from the den of lions. He saved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. He sent down fire from heaven upon Elijah's altar. And He even saw the widow in her distress and gave her oil to save her family. David and Goliath, Samson and the Philistines, Jonah and the whale, and far more than all this, God sent His Son, who lived and died. And when He died, the power of God was loosed over the land. Darkness covered the land. An earthquake broke the rocks, broke open the graves that many holy people were raised to life, and people saw them walking around. And then He raised His Son to life again, conquering sin and death itself forever and giving us the new hope of life for all eternity. A disciple is one who knows the power of God. Over and over and over, we have the testimony of the power of God made real in the world, that He saves His people, that He provides for His people, that He is more powerful than any army, than any king, than any government, than any prime minister or president, than any nation, that He defeated death itself. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is in control of everything. We have nothing to fear because God can do what He has said He will do. And what He promised us is glorious. We know the power of our God here today in our church. We have seen God work here. We have seen God work miracles. We have seen people healed. We have seen lives transformed. We have seen addictions overcome. We have seen lost and broken hearts restored, relationship renewed, forgiveness and new life. And we know that God will do it again in another heart, in another life, because His power is still real today. A disciple knows what God can do. A disciple can see, has seen the power of God made real. A disciple longs to show everyone what God can do for them too. God's power and His love is amazing, and it needs to be shared. Do you believe in the power of God? How have you seen the work of God in your life? Do you know the stories of God's power and faithfulness, that when you face the darkness, you will not fear because God is with you and you know what He can do? And even if He doesn't, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says, even if He doesn't, you know what He has done for you. We are saved. We know what is coming, what He has prepared for us in eternity. Do you trust that He is with you? Do you believe that He can do what He has said He will do? Do you walk as the Israelites did after they saw the power of God made real? Do they, with the walls of water and the army swallowed in the sea, do you walk in the fear of the Lord Almighty, in His power, and trust in His hand to guide you and protect you and provide for you and be enough? As a disciple, do you know the testimony of God's saving power? And do you believe that He can do it again? Because I think He can. Let's pray together. Father God, we are in awe of who You are and what You have done. We thank You for these incredible stories that You have recorded for us in Your Word, these things that these people experienced about who You are and what You have done, the mighty works You have worked, the incredible ways You have saved them. And then above and beyond all of that, we thank You for Jesus, that He lived here, taught and showed us what life was meant to look like. And then He took all of our sin, all of our shame, all of that darkness, He took it on Himself. He was nailed to that cross, and when He died, He defeated all of it. He took the punishment, the cost of all of that, and You raised Him to life again, that we can know Your power of redemption, the depth and power of Your love. So, Father, help us to walk in that power, to walk in freedom and life without fear, without insecurity, without pride and ego and all those things that get in the way. We want to walk in full surrender and freedom, that Jesus is enough. What You said and what You have done is enough. We don't need to do more. You are at work, and we want to walk with You. We thank You for Your church, for Your Spirit, for the ways that You are present here today, that we can share in that journey. And as we seek to bring that love and that life, that power forward, God, we pray that You would use us. God, we want to be found faithful. We want to be obedient and trust in the work that You will do through us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.